This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This holiday season, choose gifts that feel thoughtful and practical with Omaha Steaks. Whether you're hosting or gifting, they deliver the world's best steak experience, and it makes you look like you planned way ahead. They've got USDA-certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, comfort meals, and tons more. Gifting Omaha Steaks is honestly one of the easiest wins. Everything arrives beautifully packaged, super convenient, and the quality is unbelievable. Their filet mignons are some of the most tender I've ever had. And the variety means you can personalize every gift. Plus, orders placed by 6 p.m. Eastern ship same day. And everything is backed by their 100% guarantee. It's holiday gifting made simple. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All The Way sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code T-Bone at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, code T-Bone.
It's always great to have Peter King stop on by Damon and Ratto each and every Tuesday. And if for any reason, Peter, we end this quickly, it's because all of a sudden we are going to get news on Aaron Judge, who, let's face it, a couple of months ago, not even, or, I guess it was like during the World Series, you were saying you thought that Aaron Judge might end up with the San Francisco Giants. And today we saw John Heyman get everyone really excited with a tweet that he retracted. It's not about to happen. So I ask you this, Peter King, before we get into any football talk. Have you ever tried to break a story that you found out was completely wrong and then had to retract it?
Well, not exactly the same way, but when Deflategate was birthed with the Patriots, I don't know if who remembers this, but the night that that happened and the next day, Chris Mortensen of ESPN reported, first Bob Kravitz of at the time of the Indianapolis Star reported that the league was investigating the Patriots for deflating the footballs in a playoff game at Foxborough. And what happened was Chris Mortensen the next day came out and said that he had information that 11 of the 12 footballs were indeed underinflated, I think he said, by 2 pounds. And so obviously that was the story of the day. So I called two people inside the league who I felt would have intimate, very close knowledge of this. And both of them said the story is true. And I reported that, you know, I can confirm this story is true. And then as time went on, we found out that the story was not true. And I think I know exactly why, what happened, and why I was told what I was told, not because somebody was lying to make the Patriots look bad, but it was because the people inside the stadium, the security people and the people who initially discovered this, gave him wrong information. Not that the story was entirely out of left field, although when Roger Goodell gave his penalty for that, I said that, you know, when it was very, very hard on Tom Brady, I said that Roger Goodell killed an ant with a sledgehammer because he way overpunished for what was an extremely mild I shouldn't say that. Shouldn't say extremely mild. It wasn't that serious of an offense, if it indeed happened. We don't really know if it happened. But be that as it may, I reported that, and I had to come out and basically say, I'm wrong. I apologized. I offered to resign from Sports Illustrated at the time, and they said, no, we don't accept your resignation, and so life went on. But
wow, you tried to fall on your own sword. I mean, do you realize that if everyone...
I reported, it was a big story, and just because I trusted these two people who told me this, they were wrong, and so I was wrong. But the public doesn't care that they were wrong. They trust me and what I say to be true. And so the fact is, it wasn't true. And if they had said, we're going to have to accept your resignation, I would have said that I'm not even angry about that. It's worthwhile. Not worthwhile, but it's the right decision. And so anyway, we all moved on, but I don't have any idea what happened with John Heyman or anything like that, but there are many times in today's world, because of the intense competition involved in stories like this, and now John works for the New York Post, so everybody looks at him and Joel Sherman of the Post and says, okay, you guys, you want to know this better than anybody, what's going on? But again, I don't have any idea what happened or why this happened, and we'll see where he goes. But, you know, can I just get back to one last thing about Judge when we talked about it a couple of months ago?
Please.
The only reason why this always had some legs to me is that, so, okay, I live in Brooklyn, and I've lived in greater New York for all but two of the last 37 years of my life. And so I'm used to the way life works here and the sports life works. And if you live here, and I'm a big baseball fan, you can tell the players in all sports who love playing here, and maybe the players who don't really love playing here.
Yeah.
Like Jacob DeGrom, I could just tell, this guy doesn't like New York. He never does anything in New York. He never says, oh, this is great, I'm going to spend New Year's Eve in Times Square. You know, he just was a guy, and there's nothing wrong with that whatsoever. But he was a guy who I always thought, when that guy's contract is done, man, he'll be on the first train out of town. And this past year, you started hearing it and feeling it with Aaron Judge. You just did. That he was a little bit ticked off at the Yankees, and Time Magazine wrote it today. He's a little bit ticked off at the Yankees for spreading what the contract was that he didn't want to sign.
Right.
So there was that. And you just always got the feeling, every time he was asked about it this year, hey, look, I love the Yankees. I love playing for the Yankees. But I'm hitting free agency. I'm going to see what's out there. And I always thought, you know, here's a guy from, I don't want to say rural California, because it really isn't. But here's a guy from sort of Americana, California, who's not used to the big city life necessarily. And you never got a sense that this guy really was adopting New York as his place. And I always just said, well, let's just see. He's going to have one time in his life, one time in his prime to choose where he wants to play. And this is it. We're here right now. So he has to know that if you sign with the Yankees, you'll die a Yankee, and there's nothing wrong with that. But if you have a curiosity or you want to play somewhere else and you sign with the Yankees, that's all over. It's not going to happen anymore unless it's a Joe Namath with the Rams or Johnny Unitas with the Chargers or Franco Harris in Seattle. It, you know, when you're playing out the string, when you are absolutely finished and you're playing out the string a year or two somewhere else. But this is his chance. If he truly loves California and did in fact dream at one point of playing for the Giants, this is the only time he's ever going to get a chance to act on it.
All right. I was just told if we ask you another follow-up baseball question, they're going to ask for my resignation. So let's get to what we have Peter King on to talk about. And obviously, you talk about playing out a string. Well, even though the news on Garoppolo's foot was better than expected today, they will be playing out this regular season string with Brock Purdy. What did you think of Purdy and what you saw? And how much do you think actually changes for the 49ers with Brock Purdy running, let's call it, a stripped-down, easier-than-most run-based offense that Kyle loves to run?
Well, I'm really not sure that I'm sure the 49ers are going to change some of what they do. But I can tell you, after spending time with both Shanahan and Brock Purdy on Sunday night after that game, that there was a play in that game, and I wrote about it extensively in my column on Monday. The 3rd and 10 play late in the first half with the score tied at 10, where the Dolphins were blitzing the heck out of Brock Purdy. And you probably remember the play. He comes to the line, and it's an 8-man front, and he knows he's going to get blitzed again. He had to adjust his call at the line of scrimmage. Kyle Shanahan is on the sidelines. There's nothing he can do. Play's been called in, and after 15 seconds, you can't talk to the quarterback anymore. So he can't say a word to Brock Purdy. But Brock Purdy comes to the line and he looks it over and he's got to call a little bit of an audible at the line of scrimmage. And what he does is he basically calls something out at the line that tells George Kittle, hey, listen, cut your route a little bit short because I'm going to get killed here by somebody. I don't know who it is. And it turns out that only 4 Miami rushers came, but one of them, Jalen Phillips, was totally unblocked. And so Brock Purdy threw a ball that traveled 11 yards in the air up the right seam on a post route to George Kittle. He caught it, gained 19, and that is the play that the 49ers used to take a lead before halftime, and they were off to the races. But the one other thing that I found out afterwards, there have been 6 passes completed in the NFL this year. 6 total passes that were completed in 1.72 seconds or less with a throw that traveled at least 10 yards beyond the line of scrimmage. Brock Purdy's was the 6th. The reason that this is significant is that it told, and Shanahan told me this an hour and a half after the game, it told Shanahan and it told his teammates, he can stand in there and take a hit, number one, which he did. Number two, he can understand at the line of scrimmage, I have to change this play, and the play clock is in the single digits, so we got to do it in a hurry. And number three, he can be accurate in the face of a heavy rush. And so I agree that obviously losing Jimmy Garoppolo is a blow. And Brock Purdy almost certainly isn't going to be as good as Jimmy Garoppolo. But I would be careful in saying that they're now playing with a very deficient quarterback who's not going to be able to do the job. I'm not sure about that. In fact, when I met with him, I can just tell you, first of all, obviously you guys have seen him now. Everybody's seen him. He looks like he's 17 years old. I'm not sure. I think he shaves about once a month. And but he is incredibly sure of himself. And when you play 48 games in the Big 12, you know, you have played in Norman, Oklahoma in front of 80,000, in Austin, Texas in front of 80,000, in wherever, in Iowa City, Iowa in front of however 70, I don't know how many people go, but I mean, he's played in some games that in that moment in time were very big games. I don't think he's cowed by this at all. And I don't know how he's going to play. None of us know. But I think he's got a chance to hold the fort for the Niners.
You said that you think the offense will be different, at least to a certain extent, with Purdy rather than Garoppolo. In what ways would you surmise that it will be different? Will there be a greater emphasis on a short throw and more runs? Is it, what does your logical sense tell you?
That first of all, as long as I think he's got three tremendous receivers in short and intermediate areas. Christian McCaffrey, Deebo Samuel, and George Kittle. And I think that they are really going to try to make a living not necessarily dumping the ball to these guys, but in taking shorter chunks to those guys. And I think, you know, it's funny, in the time I was with Purdy, the thing that caused him to like be a little bit gee whiz is he said that, and you guys remember on the drive that was extended by the pass that I just described, it ended with the short touchdown pass to Christian McCaffrey. But remember on the play before that, he threw a catchable ball that McCaffrey dropped. And after that play, and then the next play, obviously, you know, the touchdown pass is thrown. But what I found so interesting is that when they came to the bench, McCaffrey went up to him and he basically said, essentially, hey, listen, thanks for having faith in me. Thanks for keeping faith in me. And as Purdy told me, he said, can you believe it? This is, you know, one of the best players around. And he's telling me, in my, you know, really in my first game action, and he's accomplished so much already. Hey, thanks for having faith in me. Are you kidding me? And so that's the kind of stuff that I think is going to hold the 49ers in good stead. They understand exactly the situation they're in right now. Not only that Purdy has got to play, but you know what? They better keep him upright. You know, because, you know, even though they've lost two starters, imagine if they lost a third. So I think they're going to want to try everything they can to try to keep him out of harm's way as much as they can.
Peter King with us here on 95.7 The Game. How many players can you honestly say are having better seasons than Nick Bosa?
No, he's unbelievable. He really is. You know, I'll tell you this. If this had been a game that the 49ers won 25-17 and Garoppolo played and everything, my story was going to be about Nick Bosa coming out of it. Because obviously he had a gigantic impact on this game. And look, the one thing that we know about the 49ers right now is that, and again, this is the biggest if of the rest of the season, because we have seen the 49ers get hurt a lot and at different times. But the point I would make is that if they stay relatively healthy, Brock Purdy can be a C to C plus quarterback and they can still go very far. I don't think they can win at Philadelphia on the last Sunday in January, but I think any other challenge they have, if they have that defense, they can meet those challenges.
What? Okay, since you broached the subject, what teams do the 49ers, as presently constructed and with no further injury issues, what are the teams you don't think they can beat come January, including Philadelphia?
Well, I mean, to me, the big question is, and again, I wrote the other day, I mean, I am not a huge fan of if the season ended today, but, you know, if the season did end today and the 49ers won their first playoff game, their second one, practically, would be, on the road in Minnesota against the Vikings. Like, I think they could win that game. I think Minnesota is a good matchup for them because I think that Cousins, when pressured, is able to be affected, and he would be affected on the fast turf of U.S. Bank Field against this front. But again, we're talking a game that is 7 weeks away, or 6 weeks away, rather, which the only reason I emphasize that, it is 7 weeks away. The only reason I emphasize that is that the 49ers play so friggin' hard that, I mean, you know, you have no idea where the injury bug is going to bite them at all by the end of the year. But as of right now, I think they would have a very good chance to beat Minnesota. But I think going to Philadelphia is a little bit different kettle of fish because the Eagles have a great offensive line. They have weapons all over the offense. They can run it very well. And I think the Eagles are going to be a hard out for anybody, certainly anybody in the NFC. But as the way I would design the playoffs right now, or the way I would look at the playoffs right now, it'd be the 49ers likely as the third seed if they win the division. So then they would play the sixth seed, which would be, let's just say for the sake of argument, Washington, the Giants, or Seattle, probably. That's a probably. And the other game, you know, would be, you know, 5-4 would be Dallas and Tampa. So, you know, if San Francisco got one of those other teams first, I think they would be fortunate instead of and being able to avoid Dallas in the first round. And then if I were San Francisco, I'd much rather play Minnesota than Dallas. So, you know, it could be that the Eagles will take care of Dallas for San Francisco or for anybody else. But Philadelphia is the only team. I think Dallas would be very hard for the Niners to beat in the playoffs because they're on fire offensively right now. And I'm not sure that the Niners can score, can keep up with Dallas offensively. I mean, we'll see. But I think the only team I'd be really worried about in the NFC is Philadelphia.
Peter, is Odell Beckham about to be a Cowboy?
I don't know the answer to that. I saw that Ed Werder reported something that I have been harping on all along, which is, I don't know what, I mean, everybody is so excited about Odell Beckham. I mean, and again, I don't mean to be the wet blanket of the year, but I mean, just think about it. It has been 9 months since Odell Beckham Jr. has had ACL surgery. This is his second ACL surgery. In two straight years, he had ACL surgery. The first time, it took him over a year to be right when he came back. He had this surgery, I believe, around March 1st. So what leads anybody to think that Odell Beckham Jr. is going to be a really good player for any team? Even in mid-January, you know, that's still just 10 and a half months removed from surgery. And Ed Werder reported today that Cowboys have some concerns about Beckham's ability to be anywhere near 100% even by the middle of January. So again, we'll see what happens, but I'm not sure anybody putting a lot of eggs in that basket is very smart.
2 years ago, the NFC East was top to bottom awful, one of the worst divisions ever in the history of the sport. How does that compare with the AFC South this year? And might that be worse than the 2020 division?
AFC South or NFC South? They're both bad.
They're both awful, but
terrible.
I think the three teams in the AFC South are significantly worse than the three bad teams in the NFC South.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, right now, they're Indianapolis, Jacksonville, and Houston are 13, 14, and 16 out of 16 in the AFC, and lately it looks like Tennessee is just really, really struggling there. I mean, you can't make an impact in the playoffs in 2022 scoring 18 points a game, and that's what Tennessee's average this year. I guess I would say that the thing that really stands out about the NFC East a couple of years ago is how horrendous they all were on offense. And that really, it's just a little bit different this year. It's not maybe not quite as bad. Jacksonville has had some good days. Indianapolis has had a couple of good days. And it seemed like 3 years three years ago, whenever it was, 2 years ago, that the NFC East, it was just an absolute offensive wasteland. But here's the one thing I would say about this year's NFC East. On a given day, any team, any of those four teams, can hold the opposition under 10 points. And that is a tremendous strength of a team, especially going into the latter part of the season.
Peter King with us here on Damon and Ratto. Knowing that the Denver Broncos are about to be in the Russell Wilson business at least a year or two more, because that's just how that works.
Yeah.
Why in God's name are they still in the Nathaniel Hackett business? They have an owner who can fire a coach, and that's couch cushion money to him. What are they waiting for?
I don't think it has anything to do with the money, of course. I mean, the owner of the team is worth $70 billion. But it has to do with the fact that Nathaniel Hackett hired a neophyte coaching staff for the most part. Most of the guys on his staff are fairly inexperienced. And even if, let's just say, I mean, a lot of people have theorized, well, who would be the head coach? Well, you know, you might say, hey, why don't you give it to Dom Capers? Well, Dom Capers is 72 years old, I think. I mean, is that going to help? And is it going to help Russell Wilson? Or even if you give it to, the number two in command on offense now is Clint Kubiak. I don't know. I don't know what good that does right now. So to me, I don't know what good it would do to fire him right now, other than for the fans to be able to say, ding dong, the witch is dead. And plus, here's the other one thing. All right. So a lot of people have talked about, look, the owners are not married to this coach. They had nothing to do with hiring him, had nothing to do with hiring the GM, had nothing to do with signing or with trading for Russell Wilson. And I think one of the things that I heard right from the start is that this group, this ownership group, is going to be deliberate in figuring out how active they want to be, whether they want to be big league people, whether they want to be on the committees and try to be influential. They've just owned this team for 15 minutes. And I think that's the biggest reason why they haven't fired Nathaniel Hackett.
Do you think Jim Harbaugh returns to the NFL, or is he using NFL opportunities to get another extension out of Michigan?
I don't know. I guess the one thing I would say is that he'll probably never be hotter than he is right now. And he's going to have theoretically at least one or two teams that would be absolutely desperate to have him. Denver is one. Indianapolis might be another one. I think that if Indianapolis could get in the Jim Harbaugh business, there's a lot of people, fans, media, veteran Colt watchers, who think that that Jim Irsay would be smitten with the prospect of bringing Jim Harbaugh in. So I think that's a possibility. And I think the other possibility in Denver is interesting for Harbaugh, because he could make $1 jillion and he would be in charge of fixing Russell Wilson. I think that would appeal to Harbaugh. But, you know, we'll see. There are going to be other jobs. Sean Payton is out there. I don't think Sean Payton has any interest in going to Denver. I doubt he has any interest in going to Indianapolis. He can't go to Carolina because the ownership would never trade him in the division. So all of those things are interesting. The one little X factor I would say about Denver in going after any coach is that I think this ownership group has no problem with spending a lot of money. They'll go big. So I think if any team out there really goes after, a highly regarded coach, whether it's Harbaugh or somebody else, I would not be surprised at all if it's Denver.
Thank you, as always, Peter, for joining us. Really appreciate it. And, you know, my heart always palpitates during a long interview that we might get some breaking news somewhere. Nothing broke anywhere, so we're okay. Peter, thank you so very much.
All the best, guys. Thank you.
Thank you. Peter King on 95.7 The Game. Look, the Harbaugh thing, Ray, I think it's kind of interesting because he's smart and he does know that he can probably right now make a leap back into the NFL more than any other year. Peter's right. He's a hot commodity. I think he's also incredibly happy with what's happening at Michigan. And if he can squeeze a little more money out of Ann Arbor, this is an opportunity to do that. There aren't a lot of college coaches who can really pivot to the NFL and use that as leverage in a negotiation. He can. And when I think about it, I do agree. The Denver Broncos can pay him more money than God. And he can also walk in there and just alpha his way over that entire franchise, especially Russell Wilson, who he'll have at his heel instantly if he were to take that job. I also think, though, that if I'm Jim Harbaugh, the Indianapolis Colts and the captain comeback and the all that, here's the deal. If you're going to stay as a football coach in the Midwest and you can be the head coach of the Colts or the Michigan Wolverines, you should probably pick the Michigan Wolverines. They're the bigger brand, to be totally honest with you. And the Colts are a disaster. If I were Jim Harbaugh, I would be waiting on the Chargers. I would say, that's a quarterback I want to work with. That's got an awful lot of money attached to it. If I'm Jim Harbaugh, I would come back to the NFL for an opportunity to just big you-know-what my way around Denver any way I wanted to, or to go into a Charger team where you, the day you become head coach, have one of the five best quarterbacks in the sport.
I think there are a couple of problems with the Charger scenario, though. One, Justin Herbert is himself a Harbaugh type personality-wise, and I can't imagine them getting along very well together at all.
Hard hedge. Our iron sharpens iron, Ray.
It also breaks iron. And I think that Harbaugh's experiences with headstrong quarterbacks, particularly at Stanford, did not go well in the end. He and Andrew Luck, you know, they were iron melting iron. And Harbaugh left so that Luck didn't have to, because Luck was ready to bolt. So I think personality's got something to do with it. But if it's just about money and power, he'll get all the money and power he's got at Michigan now, and there won't be anybody that's going to challenge him at Michigan the way there would be in the NFL, where you either have to toe the line with an owner or toe the line with a strong general manager. I think Jim Harbaugh is comfortable where he is because he has nobody to answer to except himself. And I think that's the situation he's always enjoyed the most. I think he's been happier at Michigan than he's ever been in any other stop he's been at. And I think it just suits him. I don't know that the NFL is an itch for him the way that it might be if, say, they won the national championship. If they win the national championship, I think all bets are off, because then he's got, you know, he's got a whole different set of decisions to make. Is, do I want to see if I can repeat and become the next Nick Saban, you know, and step on Ohio State's neck for the next 10 years? Or have I done everything I wanted to do in college football and I want to move on? I think for right now, you know, if they don't win the national championship, I think he stays. If they do win the national championship, I think the equation changes. But I don't think he'll be any happier in the NFL than he is right now.
We have breaking news. It is from Jeff Passan. It concerns the San Francisco Giants and an outfielder. No, concerns the San Francisco Giants and an outfielder who is from the Bay Area. Hit the sounder.
95.7 The Game. Breaking news.
Did you know that Mitch Haniger was from Mountain View?
I did.
Mitch Haniger, a 31-year-old Major League outfielder, is definitely not Aaron Judge, but he is definitely signed with the San Francisco Giants. It's a three-year, $43.5 million contract. Jeff Passan includes the note that signing Haniger does not take the Giants out of the running for Aaron Judge. They had been pursuing both throughout free agency. So there you go. I did give an evil tease.
Yes, you did.
That's an evil tease, but I needed to have some fun today. Come on.
Yeah, well, I can only bring so much. So, yeah, Haniger was an interesting choice because he was a guy that the Mariners really liked, and they thought he would be sort of central to their making a deep run this year. And then he got hurt and missed half the season and never really did get comfortable again. So it'll be interesting to see a health prognosis and how they use him, because he's at his best when he plays every day. So they've got to make a room for him.
Well, look, he had in 2001 with the Mariners 620 at-bats. I mean, was there a Giant who sniffed 500 last year? I don't even, you know, the way that they chop it all up with their platoons galore. You're right. They're going to have to do something a little different. He only played in 57 games last year, 224 at-bats. But Haniger was a .253 hitter in his full season back in 2021 with 39 home runs. The Giants can use a player like that. There is no doubt about it.
If he's healthy, he'll be helpful.
Yeah. That's a good signing.
Yeah, no, it's not a bad signing at all. And the fact that it doesn't, you know, it's a $13 million a year get. You know, the fact that it doesn't impinge on their willingness to go after Judge is probably, you know, very appealing. And if that's true, it means the Giants are willing to commit at least $400 million, which I was skeptical that they would. And if they don't get Judge, presumably, they could chase other things. But it might be more along the lines of the Haniger level rather than, the Dansby Swanson level.
Well, that's to me why I thought Josh Bell was just sitting there begging to be a Giant based on he's a switch hitter. They can, you know, he's his own platoon, for goodness sakes. But he today signed with the Guardians. Someone from the 510 on the Xfinity mobile text line says, Damon, I thought you said it was too late to make an announcement on signings for the San Francisco Giants. It's not too late for the Giants to make an announcement the size of Mitch Haniger, because nobody cares.
And
Aaron Judge is front page above the fold, biggest font you got in the newspaper level headline. That is not the one that Major League Baseball wants rolled out about, you know, 8:40 on a Tuesday night.
No, but this is also probably an agent announcement. The Giants didn't announce this. Passan just broke it, and I'm pretty sure he broke it because Haniger's agent told him it got done.
Well, here's the thing. If Haniger's agent doesn't announce it, people aren't running for Mitch Haniger news.
Which I understand. Yeah. I'm just saying that this is not a baseball call. It's just the agent's going to announce what he wants to announce when he wants to announce it. So it's not about an organized Major League Baseball plan to announce Mitch Haniger or not announce Mitch Haniger. The agent got it out there because he wants to make sure that everybody knows his guy got.
Somebody says, I hate you, Damon. Hey, look, it's been a while since I messed with the audience, but
I think I got my swagger back.
This is David in Brentwood. Hello, David. You're on 95.7 The Game. What do you got?
Damon, honestly, when you pulled that tease, I didn't know if I should just cry or laugh. It's so ridiculous. You know, I can almost picture Farhan running circles around his office going, whoa, I got this other guy. I don't even know his name. You know, that much, it tells you how excited we are about getting this guy. Seems like, you know, every time they have breaking news about the Giants signing a new player, the same players that likes Brandon Belt. You know, which, I mean, for starters, I don't even know how he ended up getting an extension a new contract for $19 million. This is just so bad. Honestly, you know, at this point, until I see Aaron Judge on the field, wearing a uniform and actually taking a bat, I just won't believe it.
You won't even believe it when he reports to Scottsdale. He wants a major league at bat. Number 99. I want Rennell introducing number 99, Aaron Judge. Maybe they wouldn't even give him 99. Has there ever been a great 99 Giant? No?
Not that I know of.
I don't think so. I'll probably give him anything he wants, to be totally honest. They would give him 25 if he asked for it.
Probably not.
Well, probably not.
But anyway. They'd give him 24. For $400 million, I'd have to think about it.
I wonder what Willie would say.
Willie, I got a proposition for you.
Be like, look, you do that, you got to take the statue down. I bet you Willie would drive a hard bargain.
Oh, no, he'd want to get paid for that, and he should.
He should. Anyway, there you go. I'm sorry to toy with your emotions, but that's really all Aaron Judge was today. One big toying with emotions around the Bay Area. When we do come on back, what can really be said about what the Warriors did last night? They fell on their faces. It was an embarrassing loss. It's an embarrassing loss, I think, for Steve Kerr. He needs a team that plays harder than that. And he needs that now. And yeah, it was a rough night for Steph Curry. And it was an inefficient night for Klay Thompson. But Poole and Klay, like, they did enough. They did enough to win that game with just a little bit anywhere else. And they didn't get it. That was a bad loss. In a season that's got a lot of bad losses to choose from, that stunk as much as any of them. And I can tell you, tomorrow night, the chances of the Warriors losing have gone up greatly, because Steph Curry with his ankle, Draymond, who now has a hip problem, and Andrew Wiggins, whose abductor is going to keep him out another game, are all out tomorrow night in Utah. But James Wiseman has been recalled from Santa Cruz. So put that in your pipe and smoke it. When we do come on back, if anything happens, Mitch Haniger news or otherwise, we will share it with you. But Ray, we have to say goodbye to two people who became quite household names. One is absolutely in the household name business. The other comes from a group that rarely becomes household names. He passed away today. So all of that is around the corner here. Damon and Ratto on 95.7 The Game. We are brought to you by Pfizer.
When you think about meal kit companies, what do you see? Probably long, complicated recipes and subscriptions you can't escape. But with the new Blue Apron, we're doing meal delivery differently. No subscription needed. Faster, easier meals. And the same dedication to quality we've always had. Shop 100 plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Now back to Damon and Ratto on 95.7 The Game.
Well, as I was just saying there in that promo, it doesn't matter if it's Aaron Judge, but the Giants need to start doing something. Like, especially if Aaron Judge wants to see a little more oomph in a lineup that he's joining, make some of those middle-of-the-road peripheral signings. And that's how you officially start free agency. You just can't wait. Things happen quickly at the winter meetings. Well, the Giants went out and signed Mitch Haniger. Just broken the news, and look, he's a good player. He's a good player. The girth machine. Girthy, right. The girth machine is going to be playing for the San Francisco Giants next year. It is a three-year deal, player option in that last year, $43.5 million. Mitch Haniger, no longer a Mariner. He is a San Francisco Giant, and Jeff Passan, who broke the news, went on to quickly tell everyone this does not mean that they are out of the Aaron Judge business.
No, but it does suggest that if they're going to do Aaron Judge, and it's going to be north of 360, if this becomes another bidding war, they might start getting a little queasy, because I don't know that they're ready to say, we're going to spend $450 million on two outfielders. I like the Haniger signing. I think if he stays healthy, he'll be helpful for them in ways that none of their current outfielders are. But, you know, I don't know that it... I think Passan's right. It doesn't impact Judge either positively or negatively.
How about this? If your free agent class for the Giants was a two-man free agent class, it's Haniger and Judge, who's starting after Logan Webb on opening day? You're really going with Dee Sclafani? I mean, I think that they need a pitcher, too. They need Chris Bassett. To me, Chris Bassett is in a price point at that point they would be looking for, right? I mean, that's a $40 million contract waiting to happen, too.
Yeah, probably not 40, but 30. You mean 40 total? Are you talking about a 40 pre? You're not talking 40.
Oh, no, like a three-year $40-something million dollars for Chris Bassett.
Yeah, maybe north of that. I mean, I could see him being close to 20.
What's the thing? We're running out of, like, good top-of-the-line major league pitchers.
Yeah, but that's why a guy like Chris Bassett is suddenly more expensive than he would have been 3 or 4 weeks ago. But, no, I agree with you. If all they do is Judge and Haniger, then they're a fairly incomplete team. They do have to create a rotation out of something. And if they don't, I could see Dee Sclafani as their second guy. Absolutely.
Kirstie Alley passed away yesterday. She had one of the hardest jobs in the history of television. Replace Shelley Long on Cheers. Ray, she nailed it. She nailed it. That is one of the hardest jobs anyone has ever been asked to do on a television show. Would you please replace the incredibly funny, the incredibly great chemistry that Shelley Long had with Ted Danson, and recreate the magic of Sam and Diane with Rebecca? She did it.
Well, and they wrote her differently, which made it work. They didn't try to recreate it.
Oh, no, they made her the alpha.
Yeah, she was dramatically different in every way than Shelley Long was, and that's why it worked. But Cheers is one of the best written television shows of all time. So
we have another passing today, and it's a man who spent part of his life as a judge. And he's certainly the single most famous boxing announcer, or not announcer, but referee of all time. Mills Lane died this morning. Mills Lane was, he became famous the night that Mike Tyson bit Evander Holyfield's ear off. He actually would cross over to become a claymation TV character on MTV. He then capitalized on all the attention that he was now getting and turned himself into a TV judge after being a two-term district attorney and district court judge in Nevada I mean, he was a smart, respected guy who also worked the rematch between Bo and Holyfield where the paraglider crashed the ring. He was also in the ring, Ray, when Oliver McCall had his mental breakdown. He's standing there crying in the corner of a boxing ring. Like, the assignments that, you know, sometimes you got to be good in life and sometimes you need to be a little lucky, too. Mills Lane was a very good boxing ref who was in the right place at the right time on three different occasions.
Yeah, you know, he was probably one of the two best boxing refs of his time with Richard Steele.
I was about to say, the only other name that I can even put out for you is Richard Steele.
But, yeah, he got the assignments that stuck. I mean, the being able to figure out the Holyfield Tyson fight as quickly as he did is a remarkable thing, because an official, you're never looking for somebody to bite somebody else. You know, that's sort of out of anybody's experience, and you wouldn't be looking there anyway. But, you know, Lane caught it the first time, then warned him, then he did it again, and he just, okay, well, then you're DQ'd out of a big money fight. And I'm sure the promoters were furious about it, but
I read today, I mean, how furious can you be when the other guy's chewing on an earlobe? But having said that, Tyson goes in for the bite. Lane was ready to DQ him from that fight right away and actually made the decision. Some Nevada boxing muckety-muck comes to the ring, and he always says that I always come to the ring and I just ask an official who's about to make a, you know, night-changing decision, are you sure about that? Mills Lane did the math and thought, okay, I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. It is Mike Tyson. Crazy does happen. Let's see how we can go. And within 30 seconds, Tyson's in there looking for bite number two, and that's when he really tossed him.
Yeah. No, it was, you know,
it's one of the craziest nights in sports history.
Yeah, nobody could figure out how to write it. I remember talking to guys later who covered that fight. They were flummoxed.
Was Kawakami still doing boxing for the LA Times back then? Was he covering
that fight? He might have been there that night.
Next time we have him on, we got to ask him about that. Yeah. Ray and I are going to be down at the Guardsman Tree Lot tomorrow from 3 to 5:30 because we're going to have to make way for a little Warriors Live from 5 to 5:30 before they get going against the Utah Jazz tomorrow night. It's going to be a tough one. Again, no Steph, no Draymond, no Wiggins tomorrow night, no Wiggins last night. There were no Indiana Pacers last night, and they lose at home. That was just a bad, bad loss for the Warriors, and it doesn't feel like they got a get-right game waiting for them tomorrow in Utah. Are we going to have Steve on Thursday? Is that the way it's going to go?
Yep, Thursday at 5.
Thursday at 5 o'clock, Steve Kerr is going to be joining us. We will settle up the official bet between my Hoosiers and his Wildcats coming up this weekend in Las Vegas, which is why I'm going to be out on Friday, because I got to go to Vegas and I got to start partying early. Ray, I got to drink for at least 24 hours before tip off. So
I don't know why you wouldn't start now.
Well, because tomorrow we have my preferred charity and we're going to go down. We're going to be great ambassadors, not just for the station, but dare I say humanity?
Two things I'm against.
The station and humanity?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Thanks so much to John Heyman, who could use a little humanity extended his way today after his Twitter blunder. And Peter King for joining us today. Thank you very, very much, Lucas. Thank you, Grandy. Ray, thank you. We're going to be down at the Tree Lot tomorrow. It's at Fort Mason in the Festival Pavilion. Come on by, say hello, bring your kid. Ray will be signing autographs, flat objects, and breasts only. So there you go. See you tomorrow. What? No, Ray has no comment. No comment on that. Sports don't build character, they reveal it.
And like that, he's gone.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This holiday season, choose gifts that feel thoughtful and practical with Omaha Steaks. Whether you're hosting or gifting, they deliver the world's best steak experience. And it makes you look like you planned way ahead. They've got USDA-certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, comfort meals, and tons more. Gifting Omaha Steaks is honestly one of the easiest wins. Everything arrives beautifully packaged, super convenient, and the quality is unbelievable. Their filet mignons are some of the most tender I've ever had. And the variety means you can personalize every gift. Plus, orders placed by 6 p.m. Eastern ship same day. And everything is backed by their 100% guarantee. It's holiday gifting made simple. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All The Way sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code T-BONE at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, code T-BONE.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With Masterclass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With Masterclass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch Masterclass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from Masterclass to their lives. Masterclass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.